So when I was asked to do this keynote, I didn't know what to talk about. I still don't, like most people who do keynotes. So I want you to imagine for a moment that you have before you, close your eyes, it'll help you to imagine. That way you won't be distracted by everything else around you. Close your eyes and imagine in front of you a huge box full of precious treasures. Inside the box, if you can find the key, are passageways. Some that lead nowhere. They were just interesting diversions in the flow of life. Others that lead to very pleasurable outcomes that might have dubious value or benefit. And others that lead to other boxes full of precious treasures. Now, you've got to find the keys to get inside to even begin to appreciate that. And that's quite a challenge. So what I thought I'd do is to help you to find that treasure. And what I really want to do is to talk about who benefits from Samba. You know, after 20 years, what is the net gain? Who's better off? So let's just walk through this a little bit. The keys to progress are curiosity. Curiosity is king among the keys to progress. Curiosity matched with vision and dedication lead to innovation. But nothing happens with innovation unless there is a lot of passion behind it, a certain amount of planning, a lot of execution and delivery. And I want to talk about what some of these things mean. To the matching other side of that are the visionaries, the mentors, the contributors, the investors and the beneficiaries. So with those titles, I just want to walk through and cover a few odds and ends with you. And if any of it fits, great. If it doesn't, I hope you enjoy it anyhow. Curiosity alone is useless. Does anyone know who did that drawing to the left? Pardon? Leonardo da Vinci. Who did the drawing to the right? A computer. How many of you saw the article recently that featured this particular photo of these two shots? So the question that was posed was, how accurate were Leonardo da Vinci's drawings? And can modern science better our understanding of the anatomy of the human body? And the answer that the article came up with is that his drawings were not only immaculately accurate, but he was a man who lived more than 300 years before his time. And today, we are only just on the precipice of being able to expand our knowledge of the human anatomy beyond what Leonardo already depicted for us in the late 1400s. Now, I want that to sink in for just one moment. You see, Leonardo was driven by an immense curiosity to understand things that were well beyond the grasp of human imagination in his own day. And I want to put it to you that curiosity was one of the key factors in the success of Samba, because if the founders and the early contributors to the project lacked fundamental curiosity and were not able to visualize in extremely colorful mental concepts where they might contribute and where they might take the code, we would not have Samba today. Is there anyone here who would disagree with that proposition? I'm glad no one wishes to disagree with that. Curiosity is a very powerful tool. Next is vision. Vision is critical. Curiosity causes us to open the box and look inside. But once you see what's inside the box, what are you going to do with it? How do you take what you see and apply that beyond what is obviously there in front of your eyes? Now, I want to paint the picture here clearly. Nikola Tesla came to this country, to the United States, in the 1880s. The prevailing method of distributing electricity at that time was using direct current. He came up with a proposition to use alternating current. Wechselstrom. Right? And for his day, he was decried as an insane man because using alternating current was going to cause the world to explode. Time as we knew it would come to an end. In fact, one gentleman to whom he tried to sell his concepts publicly executed dogs using alternating current to show how dangerous alternating current was, and even proposed a law to cap the maximum voltage of alternating current that might be distributed at 800 volt. Did you know that? Because alternating current, he said, was so dangerous. But you see, Nikola Tesla invented the alternating current generator. And one day when he was asked, "How do you know, Mr. Tesla? How do you know that it will work?" His answer was, "I've had one of these generators running in my mind for a long time and it's never failed." Gentlemen, ladies, those of you who write code, if you can't see it working in your mind's eye, how in goodness name do you expect it to work after it's written? Did you catch that? If you can't visualize your code running, how do you expect it to work? But vision, the ability to visualize what you have conceptualized in dynamic, lively terms is critical to any work you do. The more effective you are at it and the more effective you are in translating that into a solid object, the more likely the work you do will have lasting effect. And there were people who were involved with Samba in the early days. There were eight of us who formed the Samba team in 1995, which was some 3.5, 4 years after the project was started, Jeremy, who saw potential for where Samba might go. And if we hadn't had that vision, I wonder where Samba would be today. But vision is critical. Another great contributing factor to success of any project is dedication. Who knows this guy? That person. How do you say his name? Are there any Italians here who might help us? See, his first name. Guglielmo? Good. Guglielmo Marconi, inventor of long-distance radio. Who knows his history? As a very young man, he started experimenting with spark-generated signals. And while there is some dispute as to whether or not he invented radio, because Tesla claimed that he had violated at least 17 of his patents, but that's another matter. Marconi was a very dedicated man to the art of developing radio technology. And many aspects of what he developed in his time are still with us today. His dedication had very lasting effect in the last 20 years. There are a number of Samba team members who have been extremely dedicated to the project, and I'd like to acknowledge their contribution, their dedication, and their commitment to the cause, because without it, almost without question, we wouldn't be here today. And next is passion. Passion is important. Do you have any passion left, Jeremy?
I'll tell you after the
talk. Okay. Martin Luther once said, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets, even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a truly great street sweeper who did his job well. Such is passion. And over the last 20 years, we've seen many team members committed to the project with an extreme, intense level of passion and drive. Passion is the nucleus of drive that's necessary to cause us to put in the effort that it will really take, not the effort initially expected. You know what it's like when you conceptualize an idea in code. Gee whiz, I can write this little piece of code, just 10 more lines and it'll all be done. And 6 weeks and 10,000 lines of code later, it finally works. Do any of you identify with that little challenge? I see one or two hands there. Who was that?
Not at all.
No, okay. We'll deal with dissenters later. Planning. If there is one department where software development people often fail, it's in the planning department. We all have great ideas. A certain level of curiosity is essential to the art and the science of software engineering. A certain level of vision is critical to being able to conceptualize code. Certain level of dedication is necessary to be able to pull it through, but without planning, not much happens. And the Samba team have used events like Samba XP to get together to knock out some of the finer points, shall we say, of our planning. We've also had this very visibly on some of the mailing lists. But without planning, nothing happens. Sometimes, planning comes off the rails when two or more groups decide to plan in different directions. Now, whilst the general direction, the general pull is still the same, the project keeps moving forward. But once those planning initiatives become opposing forces, the project gets put at risk. We've we're here 20 years after the beginning of Samba for a reason. The general pull has been in one direction, even though at times the pull has been at opposite ends. But where will we be 20 years from now? What will the legacy of the last 20 years be 20 years from today? I put it to us all that without planning, we'll never get there. Or will we? Execution is the process and discipline to direct activities so that goals and objectives are met. Have you heard that definition before? What is bad execution then? Bad execution is what happens when we collect optimistic data, put it in context of bad analogies. We've never done any of that within the Samba team. Seasoned it with saliency bias, added herd instinct, a pinch of confirmation bias, and here's your strategy. Just add water. We've acknowledged that there are two concurrent initiatives within the Samba team today. Samba 3, which is the historic code base, and Samba 4, which has yet to be released after many, many years of development. In 2010, at this conference, a decision was made to merge the two code bases into one. That has happened. We've actually made a lot of progress. The question now is, what will happen next? Without execution? Not much. But we'll get there, somewhere. Now, delivery, that's the process of meeting expectations on time. And quality is one dimension of delivery. When we deliver code that has bugs in it, it's a little bit like delivering a skunk, isn't it? When we fail to deliver code when expectations are that it will be released, we also leave a little bit of a stench in our wake, because we leave behind us people who are disappointed. So who are these people who might be disappointed? Well, over the last few years, over the last decade, I would say, the Samba team has been very punctual and very predictable in its delivery of updates and bug fixes and extensions to the Samba 3 code. But there has been an expectation for quite some time of delivery of Samba 4. And the question that I put before this entire group is, when will that be? Will it be? So let's talk about the other side of the fence now, the players involved in the game. Well, the first are visionaries. They motivate people to convert, to transform completely intangible concepts into present reality. Let that sink in for a moment. They inspire and enthuse, and they're powerhouses to the minds of everyone involved. I know Tridge would not like to be publicly recognized as a visionary who truly did enlighten our minds, but we should not shy away from that reality. He was also a powerhouse of industry. His contribution to the code project that he started has been truly immense. And I'm going to ask you in your mind to just give him the recognition that he deserves because he strove so enthusiastically. His vision lit the flame that became the Samba that is today. Mentors. Every project, every company, every organization needs mentors. You know, I've come across a lot of mentors who truly are out of this world. But they nurture relationships and help people to find direction when the passageway that they have gone down gets a bit dark and the lights go out. You know our box, our treasure box? It has a lot of corridors that lead to nowhere. And we've had some really good mentors in the Samba team over the last 20 years. Those mentors themselves are men who have put an enormous level of energy and commitment behind everything they've done. I could publicly embarrass them by asking them to stand up, but they have led younger people who have come onto the team. They've helped them without any constraint on the amount of time that it took to lead them. And I want to recognize those people. Now, just recently, I was introduced to Olo, and I saw there the list of the contribution rates. And if you want to know who those people are, look at Olo. But the mark of a truly good mentor is someone who can lead other people, bring them up to the level they are and beyond, and get out of the way when it's time. Now, in many open source projects, the key mentors are type A personality people. And type A personality people have great difficulty stepping out of the way. They want to lead all the time. How are we doing for time, folks?
You've got 3/4 of an hour left.
Oh, that's plenty. The question to the Samba team mentors today is, how are you doing, guys? Who have you mentored recently? How are your subjects doing? And do you have it within you to step aside when it's time? Let me put that, since that sounds very negative, let me put that in a very positive context. We need the next generation of leaders. For when you get hit by a bus, run over by a train, fall out of the sky in a plane, get hit by a flying stork or whatever, in your minds, is the project safe in the hands you leave behind? Continuity and successorship is critical to the future. And I know you guys really well. You haven't just done this for the present. You've been involved in this project because you are extremely future-minded, future-directed. If you could not see the benefits of the extreme labor you put in mentoring others, in terms of future value, you would lose motivation to do it. And I want to publicly recognize these people for the extreme level of future-mindedness that has been exhibited over the last 20 years. Contributors. Oh dear. They work in sweatshops. You know, I once heard working on open source code as related to the equivalence of child labor shops. So I looked for some appropriate photos to illustrate this. You see, contributors, and there are thousands of them over the 20-year history of the Samba Project, often do this of their own initiative, in their own time, outside of the scope of the normal work they already do that already fills the typical 48-hour day. Of course, you knew every day has 48 hours. It was once proposed that since Europe is metric, we should go to metric time, in which case there would be only 10 hours in a day.
Or 100.
Well, hang on, you're jumping ahead there, Volker. I understand that the smallest unit of time measure that was proposed for the official SI 10-hour day, SI being Système International, was the while. That way, we could all say it will only take a while. Of course, the while would have a subunit by a factor of 10, since this is metric time. That would be a deci-while. And a tenth of that, a centi-while. And then a milli-while and a micro-while. And the smallest unit of time that we would be able to measure would be the nano-while. However, in order to be able to accurately plan down to the nano-while level, it would be necessary to explode out time, and hence we would actually have to use a factor of somewhere between 100 and 1,000 to be able to get down to the level of precision necessary. Well, that gets us well away from contributors. Contributors do all sorts of things. They contribute problems. We have a system called Bugzilla. That's one of our contribution mechanisms. It allows people like you who find a problem to contribute your problem to the project and keep the dynamos running. Because after all, one or two of the Samba team leaders have been known to verbalize on stage to large audiences that Bugzilla drives their day. Therefore, they must appreciate the contribution you make. They're under-rewarded and under-recognized, particularly when they contribute a piece of code that fixes a bug. And they're totally under-rewarded when the bug fix, the patch that they submit, causes 100 other problems that then need to be fixed. But 20 years of Samba have seen a lot of humorous situations and a tremendous response to the contributions and contributors who have been part of the project. Now, no project would survive if it wasn't for investors. So, when we use that word investors, our minds typically immediately turn to financial matters. But investors are people who expend time and resources. What is the most precious resource that you have? How about time? Any amount of money you can lose and replace. Houses can burn down, you can replace them. Jobs can be lost, they can be replaced. Hearing can be lost and to some extent can be replaced. The one thing that you only get to use once is your time. That ought to cause us to sit up and pay close attention to how we use the time that we are given. Investors provide resources to enable contribution. They provide proof of concept, testing, and validation opportunities. Can you conceptualize what that statement really means? They find new uses. They find new bugs. They find new opportunities. And contributors, by their feedback into the project, help to see the future of the project along. I want to recognize those who have donated financially to the Samba project. And over the years, there are many private contributors who gave with a very willing heart because they saw immense value in the project. Back in the early days, the mechanism, the only form of payment that the team would accept was pizza. Can you remember that, guys? Do you still like pizza? I remember Andrew Tridgell once sending an email out to the Samba team list to say, look, we really ought to stop receiving pizza tokens. We just can't spend them any longer. Besides, we're all tired of pizzas. I want to publicly recognize our sponsors. I want to recognize, in particular, our sponsors in IBM, Google, and other companies that have invested in the Samba project. Invested either by providing people, or money, or venues, or putting on events, open source events, Samba events, interoperability events. I want to recognize Microsoft as a company that has been a very active contributor to the Samba project. In particular, I want to recognize the contribution made by CERNET in sponsoring and putting on this event each year for the last 10 years. And in their commitment and dedication to providing people to work on Samba. You see, without any of those investments, it's questionable where Samba would be in terms of adoption and utilization. I believe there are something like 87 different companies that we know of that implemented Samba and invested to some extent in Samba's use. Samba has been ported to nearly 100 different platforms. It is included in all the Linux distributions and the BSD distributions and in quite a number of commercial products and platforms. That truly is a consequence of those who have invested their resources behind the project. So for the last 20 years, on behalf of the Samba team, I'd like to truly publicly recognize our investors. Every project has followers. They are the quiet majority. They use and enjoy the code and occasionally abuse it. And it's been very interesting watching the Samba mailing list as people, you know, ask for help or report a problem and someone jumps on them. You're not using it the right way, you twit. Twit is a fish or something like that. Well, every experience, positive and negative, is a value and has been a value in providing insight to how we could improve and make more relevant and make more useful the code that became the Samba that is today. And then there are fellow travelers. Fellow travelers are those who integrate the code into their applications. They may act as investors or contributors. May also try to hire away from open source projects some of its brightest minds. But all the same, they're fellow travelers. But they could also do, as some companies have done, is hire key talent to work full-time on the project. And again, I'd like to recognize that the number of companies that have done this, whose names are too numerous to mention exhaustively here today, but companies like IBM, SGI, the Linux companies, and the list could go on. And I'd like to thank those organizations for having done that, because by doing that, they've really helped the project along. And then there are admirers. Every operation has its admirers. But what really sets admirers apart from the rest is the amount of skin they have in the game, the level of commitment. You know, admirers disappear pretty quickly when the going gets tough. When there's a problem, they go. So who benefits from Samba? And now this is my second last slide, I think. I might have some more in there yet. Who benefits from Samba? Well, code contributors do. In fact, quite a number of the Samba team members themselves came in as young guys, fresh out of college or still in high school in one or two cases. And their work on the Samba team helped them to gain recognition as very capable software engineers, long before they gained any academic credentials in the field. In fact, one could even ask, which was of more value to their career, being in the Samba team where they could develop their talents and refine their skills, or getting academic credentials? I could embarrass a few of the people in this room who fit into the category of those who came in very young and benefited very greatly from their work on the Samba project. I want to ask those young men, have you benefited from your work on Samba? Are you still collecting benefits from your work on Samba? And there's a tongue-in-cheek there, just one or two of them know exactly what I mean by that. C- code users also benefit in that Samba helps them to extend the scope of interoperability between the various software and operating system platforms that they use within their organizations, their homes, their not-for-profit organizations, and the like. And if it hadn't been for the fact that Samba brings together a level of interoperability for sharing files and printing resources, it wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be here today. So for 20 years of relevancy, I like to recognize the Samba team as a whole and the users of Samba as well, as the beneficiaries and both contributor and beneficiary of the work done. And then there are corporations who have built products incorporating Samba into whatever it is that they are delivering. And because of that integration, because of that use, they have knowingly or otherwise contributed to the well-being of the project. And 20 years on, we are still wrestling with the question of the relevancy of the project today and into the future. And those are things that are going to be discussed in the topics in this conference. They are the things also that will be discussed in the team meeting that we'll be having on Friday. And I would put it to us all that the decisions made over the next 3 days are truly important decisions, because they will impact the next 20 years of Samba. So what is the future of Samba? What will happen to the project? What will happen become of its individuals? And by its individuals, I mean not only the team members, but I mean people like you who are its users. Where will you go? Where will you be 20 years from now? And how will the corporate beneficiaries continue to derive value from the project? Well, it's up to you. What's your desire? How can the Samba team best serve you? We've covered a span of 20 years without much specificity. I could have gone into technical details, and I'm about to do that now. I want to take a very brief walk down memory lane. From a very personal perspective, I found out about Samba in 1994. I had been doing support work for a company called Interactive Unix Systems. That is the company that helped IBM with porting AT&T System 5 to become the platform that is now known as AIX, if my memory serves me correctly. In any case, Interactive Systems Corporation had been selling AT&T Unix System 5 Release 2 on the Intel processor platform, and I was doing support work throughout the Asia-Pacific region for their customers. And a certain company that has a solar ring to its name acquired that company, acquired Interactive Systems Corporation. The product became Solaris x86. And just after that transition had happened, a small organization who has just been offered a tremendous patent settlement, CSIRO, the Commonwealth Scientific Industrial Research Organization, contacted me and said, Sun told us to contact you to help us to get an open source software to compile using the C compiler on Interactive Unix. Can you help? I said, send me the code. They sent me the code and I took one look at it and I said, yeah, all right. So after a few days of tapping on at its roots and using a sledgehammer, I was able to get it to compile, produce the binaries, stuck them on a few floppy disks, and sent them off to Melbourne in Victoria, Australia. And I didn't hear from Syro again. Meanwhile, I'd been working with a little company called Artisoft out of Tucson, Arizona. Artisoft were producing a product called AI LanBio, or Lantastic, as the common name was. And I had some customers who were using Lantastic. And in those days, you only had 14 interrupts to work with. And they were all spoken for if you put one Ethernet card in a system. A mouse took up one. We weren't able to share interrupts. And I had customers who had Unix systems who wanted terminal access and file sharing capability into those systems. So they needed a TCP/IP stack. And I introduced Artisoft to a company called the Wollongong Group, who happened to have a TCP stack. I worked with Artisoft to help them to get that integrated. It was known as Lantastic for TCP/IP, and it used as the back end the Beeman Whiteside NFS daemon. So it allowed NFS connectivity in the context of or over the same NIC with Lantastic shares, NetBIOS type shares. In any case, that product was released and it did really well, and then Microsoft changed their technology. Office 4.3 came out. And Office 4.3 introduced a technology called, what was it again? It's hot on the tip of my tongue. Olay 2, Object Linking and Embedding 2.0. And immediately, all of the Beeman Whiteside NFS and the Sun PC NFS users started corrupting their files. And I had some very large customers in Australia who could no longer use Lantastic for TCP/IP, and their question was, what can we use? I contacted Syro and said, this Samba thing, what is it? They said, oh, it's Microsoft Windows for Workgroups connectivity file sharing software. I said, does it work? Yeah. The code that I sent you, the binaries, do they run? Yeah, hadn't you tested them? I said, no, you didn't ask me to. You asked me to compile them. And that was my introduction to Samba at that point, well after, about 2 months after I'd sent the binaries off. And Samba saved the day at those large customer sites. And that's how I became involved with the Samba project. The time there was October 1994. But as I was trying to build the latest version of Samba, I ran into a problem. I couldn't compile it. So I contacted Tridge because his phone number and address were in the headers of most of the header files. And I rang Tridge and he said, oh, you've run into a problem. It's line 1106 in utils.c. I left the semicolon off and it tricks all the parsers. They don't see that it's missing and it causes them to some heartburn. So I put the semicolon in and it compiled and it worked. And then I was contacted, you know, word of mouth spreads like a flame. Contacted by one organization after the other. Can you help us to get Samba working? So that led to June 1995, when we met at Andrew Tridgell's home in Canberra. It was Dan Shearer, Paul Blackman, George Day, a number of others. We met at Andrew's home. We talked about the concept of formalizing some structure and relationship around Samba. And that's how the Samba team emerged. We got Jeremy on the telephone. Folker, I can't remember, were you involved at that time? You came on a little later. As were interesting days, and then shortly after that, I won't mention names now, I won't embarrass anyone, but we saw that Windows for Workgroups had a log-on capability in the presence of a Windows NT 3.10 server. And curiosity led from one thing to another, and we watched what went over the wire, and wow, it would be cool if Samba could log on as a client. And about 3 hours later, that was working. And the excitement was immense. In fact, the excitement was contagious because more people got involved in the project. So then we got into other issues of interoperability and how do you, later in the piece, how do we map identities between the Windows SID world and the Unix UID, GID world? How do we preserve these things? How do we make this and that? There's been tremendous interaction amongst people, tremendous discussion, sometimes heated, sometimes just exasperated. As to how do you do this, how do you do that? We stepped over all of those things, but along the way, not only has the project grown, but the people involved in it have grown personally. And for me, that's been very heartening, to watch people grow, to watch them mature, to watch them get tremendous career positions in the IT industry. And for that, I want to thank them, and I want to thank the people who have been using Samba. I want to encourage you, keep up the flame, carry that torch. Another 20 years from now, I hope to be around at another Samba XP conference, and I hope to be invited then to talk about the last 40 years of Samba. Thank you for paying attention.